All right, joining us now to talk a little baseball is Matt Lodi, our good friend from Northeast Ohio Sports Insiders.com and the Associated Press as well in Cleveland to talk about baseball's playoffs and some front office moves made by the Indians announced yesterday. Matt, what's going on, brother?
Hello, my friend. How are you?
I am well. Thank you. I appreciate you spending some time with us. All right, Matt. First of all, your perspective on what we've been talking about for half an hour. I said, do you think that Yankee fans next week, next month, in the offseason, are going to be thinking back to the playoff year of 2015? Or do you think they even feel like they were in the playoffs when you were only in it for 3 hours?
Wow, that's a good question. Honestly, I would think that it's kind of like what the Indians went through 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it is a playoff game, but like you said, it's basically a three-hour experience. And, you know, for those that I'm sure shelled out quite a bit of money in the largest city in North America last night, they probably felt like that's it. You know, that's all there is to it. And you know, again, Houston with a tremendous pitching performance and obviously some clutch hitting, as I heard in your highlights there from Gomez and company. I mean, they just kind of came out and did what they had to do. And, you know, when you have that dominant pitcher like they did last night, and I think you're going to see a similar thing happen tonight with Chicago and Pittsburgh with Jake over there in Chicago, the way he's thrown throughout the entire season. I think that the Pirates have their backs against the wall because of that very reason. You know, it's almost like going up against Justin Verlander in his prime or Clayton Kershaw or a pitcher of that nature way back in our day of covering teams, you know, guys like Randy Johnson or Pedro Martinez. I mean, you're going to be lucky to get 2-3 runs, maybe even 1 or 2 runs. So,
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. Now, if we were in a series against the Red Sox, say a 7-game series, we might have to face Pedro 3 times, potentially.
3 times,
you know,
right?
At least 2, because they got to beat us 4 times to prove they're better than us. Not just that they had one pitcher who's dominant and who's unable to be touched, you know, in one game. Same thing with Randy Johnson. You're playing the Mariners or whomever. You know, you got to prove it. You got to do it 4 times out of 7 or at least 3 times out of 5. I don't lie. In other words, I love that the Yankees are out. Okay, most of us hate the Yankees. I hate the Yankees, okay? But I'm not convinced that the Astros are better than the Yankees because Dallas Keuchel went last night, the Cy Young winner. That means one guy was dominant that one night, which could happen every time. But you got to see, is your number 2 starter better than the Yankees? Is your number 3 starter? Because you got to do it 2 out of 3. In my estimation, you should have to at least do it 2 out of 3 to move on into what is, you know, for this to really feel like and be considered a playoff experience, not just a 1-game play-in.
Well, and I think you mentioned it to your last caller, and I think you have a good point, though. This was more of a play-in game as much as it was a playoff series, obviously, because it's just one game. And, you know, the thing is, I mean, they stretch this thing out enough. I mean, you may be playing baseball, if I'm not mistaken, you could be playing into Halloween and maybe even November 1st here. I mean, you can't extend this thing out any more than what it already is. And I know the baseball purists out there, the Bob Costases of the world, you know, hate the fact that there is a quote-unquote wild card. But think about the Indians. Think about, you know, other teams like even Houston and how out of it certain teams would have been 3 weeks ago if there weren't a wild card. I do think it adds a level of intrigue to the end of the season. It certainly adds a level of intrigue if you're not a great team, but you're just good enough. And, you know, let's be honest. I mean, we've seen teams before, and the team that comes to mind are the St. Louis Cardinals a couple years ago. They were basically out of it, but they ended up being the wild card team. And then just kind of like what we see in the NFL very often, Bob, you catch fire, you get hot at the right time, and you end up winning the whole thing. I mean, that's how it goes. And I'm not going to take anything away from a St. Louis Cardinals team or in the NFL, a New York Giants who did it a couple years ago against the New England Patriots that second time around who were the wild card team. You know, they just got hot at the right time. But you know what? You can't blame a team because guess what? That's how the game is set up now. That's how the playoff system and the format is set up. So,
yeah, and in
football, to me, Matt,
I talked about this in the first half hour. To me, football is an entirely different animal because it gives its value. It gets its value from its scarcity. There's only 16 games. You only get one game to be in the playoffs. And if you want to go on, you got to win that one game because they're rare. Only one a week. That's the difference. Baseball, it's not rare. It's quantity. It's all about 162.
Yeah, it's an everyday thing, right?
And nobody plays just one game in the regular season against somebody and moves to another city. You play everybody in 3 or 4-game series. So that's how it ought to be, in my estimation, to advance into the playoffs. You're in the playoffs. You got to at least get a 3-game series or a 5-game series in order to move on. Baseball and football are so different because of the scarcity of one and the frequency of the others. You got to play the frequency.
Well,
of the others.
And to interrupt you, I think where you're looking at this then, Bob, is you're saying that you don't like the wild card, though, because then how do you necessarily determine who makes the wild card without you playing baseball well into November? Because really that's what you would be doing if you had a two- or three-game series, I guess, if you will. That would be the challenge, I guess. Unless you do what I've always said, which they'll never do because it's a money game at this point, as you obviously know, is that is cut 2 weeks off at the beginning, 2 weeks off at the end,
let's
shorten this thing from 162 to, say, 145 or 140.
But I don't think you have to do that, and here's why, okay? When is the Astros and KC series set to start? Thursday?
I think it's Thursday, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So tomorrow. If you played best out of three, worst-case scenario, you're playing tonight and you're playing tomorrow in order to settle that, and then you have Friday off and you're playing Saturday in Game 1 of the division series. Okay, so if
sure.
the Astros and Yankees played tomorrow, or tonight, I should say, for Game 2, and if the Astros win, now you start on Friday. If the Yankees win, you got to play on Thursday, and then you start on Saturday. We're talking 2 days longer. It's not going to extend further into November. And that's all I'm saying. Everything else can remain the same. Just let the two teams that are the quote-unquote wild cards play what baseball has been playing all year long, and that is a series against one another, even if it's only a three-game series like you would have at any given weekend or weekday series in the regular season. That's all I'm saying. I don't think that extends the season so much that you got to go from 162 to 145 or anything other crazy.
Well, the other devil's advocate, of course, then to that, Bob, is you're starting to play into really bad weather. And how many times have we seen playoff games get played, you know, in 40, 50, 30, 40 degrees, and, you know, you're fighting elements
and
everything.
No, I know, but
again,
I'd argue,
you know,
the same thing and say it's just 2 days. You know, instead of starting Thursday,
right,
start Saturday. It's not going to go from, fall comfort to, you know, the blizzard of January if we're playing a game October 31st instead of, or November 2nd instead of, you know, October 31st or whatever. And here's the other thing too, Matt, and we'll end it here, and then we'll talk about this Indians front office thing, as Jim,
sure.
Jim and I were talking about, and I know, Jim, you got a question too, but about monetizing it. You know, this is the only league that isn't monetizing every single opportunity. You would think that they'd say, look, how many more commercials can we sell with nationally televised baseball games, playoff games, if we make it best out of three? Everybody is looking to expand. I mean, Goodell is trying to go to 18 regular season games or add another round of playoffs, all for the purpose of making more money. You'd think that baseball would say, you know, there's a lot of money to be made here if we make that wild card best of three. You'd think they'd be interested in doing that like everybody else in sports.
Well, I think the only thing with baseball, and we've seen this over the years, and I mentioned obviously a name like Bob Costas, is the purists. And these are the people that continue to want to be, you know, in the quote-unquote old school of it. They're the ones that want to fight, you know, keeping baseball where it's at with the amount of games, the amount of playoff games, and, of course, the amount of teams that make the playoffs, because they feel that, you know, only the best of the very best should be in there. And I'm sure, as I mentioned earlier, a Bob Costas of the world or the purists would be upset when a wild card team, let's say Houston, comes out and now beats Kansas City,
Matt and Jimmy Cushlin as well. You know what the purists are doing, though? They're dying. Literally. They're dying.
That's true.
They're getting old and they're dying, and guess what? Let it be. You know, the game evolves. Everything evolves. I'm a purist in some senses of the word, but the true purists hated the idea of interleague play. It's a thing.
Right.
And nobody looks back.
Oh, sure.
They hated the idea of the wild card. They hate the idea of the divisions being expanded to the point where there's three in each league now. They hated all that stuff. The purists hate the DH, but you adapt, you get used to it, and you understand it, and you accept it, and I think they accept it the same way. Kush, I know you had a question. Go ahead.
Yeah, it's one last thing on this topic, because I've always wondered that, and you mentioned, Matt, you know, chopping a couple weeks off the schedule and going back to the old school 154. I've always wondered, the same could be done, keeping it at 162, bring back the occasional Sunday doubleheader, like they used to do back in the day.
Well,
yeah, the traditional one, not the day-nighter where you got two separate admissions. The traditional one where it's 20 minutes.
Makeup, of course.
Minutes after the final out of game one, you play game two, and that's that. Now, that is something the purists would love, and I'm one of them.
Well, it's what the Indians did a couple weeks ago. They played that Sunday afternoon. You know, they played the Tigers, I believe it was, for two, and then when they got the weekend rained out, the Friday-Saturday games, 9-11 and 9-12, and then they did it again. For the Minnesota series, of course, that was a critical series because the playoffs were still, you know, in grasp for both teams at that point. The only thing, and again, I don't know this because I haven't done any research on it to say this, but I can guess the only thing that would be an issue there would be the players' union. because, of course, it's, you know, we don't want our guys having to play two games in one day. I don't know that's a factor, not guys. I don't want to say that for sure, but I can imagine that would have to be something that have to that would have to be ratified
by
the players' union because.
I don't even think it would get to the players' union, Matt, because I think it's the owners who would block it first because they don't like the idea.
Because they're losing a game.
Bingo.
Yeah, they're losing
a
game.
They want a gate. They want a separate admission for every every one of the 81 home dates. They don't want to give any of them up, and that's just
and I
like
know
I said. And there's
positive.
The monetization factor, which I don't understand why they're not taking advantage of it in the playoffs. So,
I can tell you for a fact that the players hate the day nighters. They would rather do what the Indians and Tigers and the Indians and Twins just did recently, which is play the thing. Just get it over with, play the one game, wait a half hour and play the other game. They do not like to have to sit in that locker room for, you know, 3 hours, 2 hours, whatever it may be, and wait for a night game. They don't like to do that.
You know what, and I completely understand them, and I agree with that.
Sure, right. I do too.
Matt, real quick, let's talk about what happened yesterday.
Sure.
It should be big news, but I don't feel like it is. Mark Shapiro, we now stepped down or announced he was stepping down to go take a similar job as the head of the baseball operations in Toronto. And so all the Indians have done is they've taken the GM and bumped him up, Chris Antonetti, to Shapiro's old job, and the assistant GM bumps up to Antonetti's old job. And I don't know who's going to bump into the assistant GM's role now or if they've covered that, but is it?
Yeah, they did
yesterday. Did they? And who's that? Who got bumped up?
Derek Falvey, who was with the who is one of the baseball operations guy.
Okay.
For the last eight seasons. Another young guy, just kind of, you know, he kind of takes where Chernoff was, you know, so he will now be the, Derek Falvey is the gentleman's name. I believe he's 32 years old. He'll be the new assistant general manager to Mike Chernoff.
Answer this for me, Matt. Is there any reason to believe anything will be different given the fact that no matter who is making the moves in the GM seat or in the baseball operations director seat or whatever, president seat, whatever you call, whatever Antonetti is now, if the money doesn't change. In other words, if the owners don't have more things to offer, you know, it's still going to be the same old tired game of searching for, you know, a diamond in the rough, a swisher toward the end who can actually play, a Bourne who can actually play, because you're not going to be able to get the, you know, when Bryce Harper is up in 2 years, you're not bidding on him.
Yeah, you're not going to get Bryce Harper, right?
You know, the Tigers might, I suppose, but the Indians aren't going to be in that ballpark. So, is shuffling the deck chairs really that big a deal when you're in the Indians organization?
You know, Bob, unfortunately, no. And, you know, this is kind of the same, you know, this is the regime that's been really in place almost for the last, you know, two decades here, because you had even more, if you will, because you went from John Hart to Mark Shapiro, Mark Shapiro to Chris Antonetti, now Chris Antonetti to Mike Chernoff. And this is really, these guys have all been under each other, if you will, and it's really just a moving up the ladder almost. So really, no, there's not going to be much change in philosophy. There's not going to be much change in, you know, how they do business. And then, of course, the question was asked yesterday, like, and it's asked every year, basically, at the end, at this end press conference that we were all at yesterday afternoon, and that is, how do you remain competitive when you're not going to have the income and you're still what's considered a mid-market team? And, you know, Chris Antonetti actually was the one that answered it, and he said, we'll do the same thing we always do, which is we'll look for those, as you mentioned, sort of diamonds in the rough, and he didn't certainly use that terminology, but it was more, we'll look for those marginal free agents, and we'll also look to make deals. And, you know, I think there are some pieces and parts on this team that could be moved this offseason. I think we've mentioned Carlos Santana more than enough to know that he could be one of those guys. I think that if Trevor Bauer has a market for him, I think he could be a guy, because even though yesterday they talked very fondly of him, I think they've kind of soured on him, and I think they've soured on him for the same reason the Arizona Diamondbacks did, and that is he's his own worst enemy, and what he does mentally hurts himself more than anything else. So, you know, to go back to your original question, no, I don't think very much is going to change. I think it's going to be business as usual, and I think that they feel like another year with guys like Lindor getting better and Urshela and, you know, Lonnie Chisenhall maybe finally finding a niche now playing right field. I think it's going to be what you saw at the end of the season with maybe one or two players here and there different. I think you're going to see that come opening day against the Boston Red Sox on April 4th.
All right, good stuff by Matt Lodi. Great analysis. Thanks for the playoff talk as well, Matt. We'll talk again next week once we are knee-deep in the division series, and we'll analyze from there. Sound good?
Thank you, my friend. I appreciate the time.
It is our pleasure to have you, and we appreciate the analysis. Thanks so much. All right, it is 3:56, which means time out for the top of the hour. Coming up on the other side, we're going to take your phone calls at 866-240-1065. We're going to be looking for a meathead of the week, and we're going to hear from the head coach of the number 24-ranked UT Rockets, Matt Campbell, all in the next hour of the extravaganza.